2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, Paul makes this statement in the opening statement that I read, verse 3, that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, we're human. That's what he's saying. He's saying he's human. He walks in the flesh. I mean, he's actually, I think, playing on words. He had been accused of being carnal, being fleshly. Some people had made a statement about him that he was in the flesh. And he said, yeah, I'm in the flesh. I walk in the flesh. I mean, I'm a human being. I understand that. But at the same time, I don't war after the flesh. There's a spiritual battle going on. And that's kind of what he's talking about. He's saying that though he's in the flesh, that's not the nature of the battle. It's not fleshly. It's spiritually. Paul could think about Paul very specifically. He didn't rely on fleshly means. It wasn't his ability to talk, his oratory skills. It wasn't, think about our day and age, a lot of times churches are big on marketing plans and things like this. Paul would say, no, it's not about a marketing plan. It's not about, my ability to speak. It's not about my personality. It's about, about the instruments of God, the spiritual things. And really that's the case for us. You and I, we do walk in the flesh. We're fleshly and, we're human beings and we're subject to all the troubles of being a human being. But at the same time, there's a spiritual realm. There's a spiritual realm. And, Paul makes a statement over in the book of Ephesians, where he tells us that we are engaged in a spiritual battle. Listen to what he says in verse 12 of chapter 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He's talking about the demonic forces of Satan. And he says that those are real, and they are. When we read the Bible is, Satan is not just some sort of metaphor for bad thoughts or anything like this. Satan is a real enemy. He's a very real enemy, and he wants to destroy. He seeks to destroy the lives of Christians. He seeks to take the Word of God as it is proclaimed to the world and to steal that away so that the unsaved person never even hears the gospel, that they tune it out completely. So we have a very real enemy, and these scriptures just sort of remind us of this. Now, he goes on and he talks about it back in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He goes on and he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I want us to think about this word strongholds just for a minute. Now, you that have been in church, you've been raised in church, you've heard a lot of doctrine preached, you've heard different things described, and you know that when a person trusts Jesus Christ, that they're taken out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the kingdom of Satan, and they're put into the kingdom of the Son, the kingdom of God. Okay, we can think about it like this, and if you will, just sort of imagine your heart, your innermost being, as a kingdom, okay? And on that kingdom, Satan sits. He sits on the throne there. That's the unsaved person. The Bible describes the unsaved person as someone who walks according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air. According to Satan, they're in a sense in bondage to Satan. So your heart, your innermost being, is in control, is controlled by Satan. He's on the throne. Okay, but now the moment that you trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that Satan is cast on the throne, and Christ sits on the throne. Okay, that now you're no longer he's not in control anymore. Satan's not in control. Jesus Christ is. Okay, and so that's what happens when a person believes and becomes a Christian, becomes a child of God. All right, but still there's a problem. So Satan's been deposed. He's been taken off the throne, so to speak, but he hadn't left altogether. I mean, he's still sort of out in the lands, you see, all right? We're still in the flesh. We still battle a flesh that is opposed to God, you see? So if you think about it like this, Satan's been cast off the throne, but he's still in the land. And what he tries to do is he tries to get a foothold. He wants to get a foothold in your life. And so if you can imagine again the illustration of the land, so the enemy's taken off the throne, and what he's done, he's gone out into the land somewhere, and he's built him a little fortress. That's what Paul's talking about, the stronghold. All right? And what he wants to do is that, from that, what he wants to do is he wants to have like little guerrilla attacks. He wants to come out of there and bring you into sin. He doesn't control the land anymore, not if you're saved, but he still can get a foothold, you see. All right? That's really the illustration that Paul is talking about when he talks about this stronghold. And the strongholds are not, you know, literally places in our life. What they are is their thoughts in our life. See what he says? He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Then he says, "Casting down imaginations." See, that word imaginations takes us immediately into the thought process, into the thought life of the Christian. So now we're talking about our mind. And he goes on, he talks about how that not only does he cast down imagination, but every high thing that exalted itself. So what we're talking about is we're talking about sinful thought patterns in your life. We've said many times here recently that the Christian life is a thoughtful life. It's in the mind. You know, it's what we think about, and what you think about matters. And what it's in your thought life that Satan seeks to build, get a foothold, and build a little fortress so that he can then bring you into sin. All right? And he's there, all right? And so what he's saying is the weapons of a warfare are mighty to pulling those things down. But I want us to think a little bit more about these sinful, evil thought patterns that from these things sin emerges, okay? And just maybe try to think about a few examples. And it's just, again, I want you to think about how the things that you struggle with in your life, the sinful practices that you have, they begin in your thought line. And somewhere in your life, Satan, in your mind, Satan's got a foothold. All right? And what you need to do is to use the spiritual weapons that God has to tear those things down. But bear in mind, it is in your thought life. It begins there. It may manifest itself in some physical act, but it begins in your thought life. So think about this. And we'll just maybe think of some examples. Let's go back to David. We all know what David did. David committed adultery. David committed murder. Where did it begin? It began in his thought life. And you go back in your mind, and I guess I'm maybe using my imagination just a little bit, but somewhere along the line, it seems to me that David began to maybe get a sense of entitlement. He's the king. He's been going to battle all these years. He's been going out there and doing the people's business, and you know, he earns the rest. And I deserve it. I'm king. I deserve to be able to sit here and do nothing. And so we see him on that fateful day. You know, basically in the middle of the afternoon, if I remember correctly, he's laying around on a bed. He's not out doing the business of state. He's not out battling as he had before. But he's kind of gotten a little lazy. But it began with a sense of entitlement. I deserve this. Maybe he even sees this woman and he begins to think about her. And he says, I deserve the pleasure of thinking about her. I deserve that. I ought to have that. I'm the king, for crying out loud. Sense of entitlement. He ends up calling her. He ends up sinning with her. Maybe try to cover it up. And he uses the power and authority that he has. But what I want you to see is, how does it all begin? The sense of entitlement. The sense of I'm owed something, okay? Now see, that's a foothold that Satan gets. Sometimes in our life, we begin to justify our sin because we think we are entitled to it. I deserve this. I'm of age. I can make choices for myself. I'm free to do this. I deserve this. I've had a bad life. I've had this tragedy take place in my life. And because I've had this tragedy, I deserve this sin. We begin to do that. Pride, sometimes pride maybe gets built up in our mind, and we begin to think more of ourselves than we should. I thought about the Apostle Peter and how that maybe in his pride he was convinced that, listen, while other people may stray from you, while everybody else may forsake you, I'm going to be with you, Lord. I'm going to be there for you. Everybody else may be scattered, but not me. See, I'm going to be there. Well, he wasn't. He wasn't. Pride. The Bible says pride goeth before a fall. And there's so many different things. And I want you to think about your life. Think about your life and think about the things that in your life have led to sin. And see if you can follow that trail back to that fortress that Satan has. And it's going to be different for everybody. But you need to think seriously about, where did that come from? How is it that Satan got a foothold in my life? How is it that he's done it? And don't use the excuse, and we often talk, the devil made me do it. I'm not talking about that. You need to understand the mechanisms of Satan. What Satan does, he tries to get a foothold in your thought life. He begins to work on your mind. Maybe I thought about, there's so many examples. I thought about envy. You know, envy is one of those sins, not a big deal, right? Envy's not a big deal, right? It's one of them low sins. You know, we think about adultery, murder, those bad things. Envy, that's not a big deal, right? Somebody shake your head. No, it is a big deal. Okay, envy's a big deal. Envy led to the first murder. But you think about how that with you, maybe the envy can grow and it become a bitterness and an anger and maybe even come to the point where you begin to assassinate the character of other people. See how envy grows. But it began with that thought life, that thought of envy. I thought about maybe self-pity. Nobody ever guilty of self-pity, is it? We begin to sit there and we begin to think how terrible we've got it, how mistreated we've been. And we let that thing just grow in us and grow in us. And then we use that to justify anything that we want to do. When you start feeling sorry for yourself, you can get to the point where you will justify anything. Every sin that you could ever want to commit. Look, I'm entitled to that. And it begins with self-pity. I talked with somebody about these things and they said, well, I'll tell you where the stronghold is for me. Stronghold for me is that I want to be in control. I want to be in control. And when things aren't going my way and I'm not in control, look, it's on. There's a problem, see? And anger and all this, it comes. But the anger really came from this sense that I want to be in control. And when I wasn't, it's frustrated. Sometimes we look at our lives and maybe we want things that God doesn't want for us. Again, I think about the Apostle Peter. And sometimes the thing that we want, there's really nothing wrong with it. It's just not the will of God. Thought about Peter. You remember how that Peter was speaking to the Lord. The Lord asked, you know, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but the God has revealed this to you. And he goes on, and we think about that, and the Lord began to tell them about the things that were going to happen. Right after that, right after the Lord had commended Peter and said, you know, that flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but God the Father did. Right after that, the Lord began to tell them about some things. He began to tell them about how that he was going to go and to die. He was going to be resurrected. And Peter began to, that upset Peter. He didn't want Jesus to die. That's a good thing, right? I mean, it's part of him that, you know, he loved Jesus. That was his friend. That was his teacher. And he wanted Jesus with him. So he took a hold of the Lord. He grabbed a hold of him. No. It's not going to happen that way. Now see, think about this, because what Jesus said to him was a very harsh rebuke. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Well, what is it Peter wanted? Well, I didn't want you to die, Lord. Well, that's fine, that's good, but listen to me. That's not the will of God. See, a lot of times what happens where Satan gets a foothold is in our life where we want something that God doesn't want for us. And there may not be anything wrong with it in of itself, but it is not the will of God. And so because it's not the will of God, and we get so stuck on that, we get so fixed on that, that's all we can see. We begin to rebuke the Lord. Why have you done this? Why do you allow that? Maybe it never gets to the point where it's verbal. Maybe it's just in our heart. But either way, it's a foothold that leads to sin. Sometimes we have, and this is probably common to everybody, one way or another, sense of insecurity. We talked a little bit about this here a week or two ago. We all have our insecurities. Sense of inadequacy. Maybe we feel like... But we feel like we weren't loved. We're not loved like we should be. Maybe we feel like we just don't quite measure up. And so Satan begins to pick at that. He begins to get a foothold there. And he leads that to get it bigger and bigger and bigger. And it manifests itself in a lot of different ways. For some people, it causes them to have a false pride. They kind of poke out their chest and they want to tell everybody else everything that they ought to do. They want to put everybody else down. But see, what is it? It's really what it is. It's about their own sense of inadequacy and their own sense of insecurity that leads them to push other people down so that they feel better about themselves. Other people, it does the very opposite. Other people will feel so much, so small and so insignificant that they won't do anything. They'll just kind of sit back and they'll just let everybody walk all over them. They won't do the work of God. They won't do anything because, well, I just can't do anything. And either way, it's not what God wants. The thing I want you to think about, and this maybe is all kind of a little bit strange, but I want you to think about your life. And I don't know your life. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know, but I do know this. If you're a child of God, you struggle with sin. Everybody does. Now, you may not struggle with the same things I struggle with, but whatever it is, I want you to think about, what is it, where was the thought life that brought me to this? How did the thinking go? Because it's there that you need to destroy the stronghold. That's where you need to get in there with the weapons of God. And what are those weapons? There's two things that God's given us as weapons. Listen to me. This is practical stuff. This is two things that God has given you, and they are genuine weapons given to you by the Almighty God. And they are prayer and the Word of God. Prayer and the Word of God. The Word of God is very powerful. Prayer is very powerful. Now, there's some place in your life where Satan's getting a foothold. I don't know what it is. But there's an area of your life where Satan has a foothold. And so what you've got to use is use the mighty power of God. He says here, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." These are powerful things that we have. No, Paul is saying that, look, I don't use my oratory skills. I don't use my charming personality. People said he didn't even have a personality. People mocked his ability to speak. He didn't have those things. Well, how is it that Paul was able to do so much for the work of God? Well, because he had the weapons of God. You have the weapons of God. And Satan is the enemy, and he's out there, and you've got to use the Word of God. Let's just think about this for a minute. And let's go back to some things. Let's go back to the thing of insecurity. You ever feel low? Feel like, you know what? Maybe they're just maybe somebody has abused you, or they've done you wrong, or whatever it may be. And it makes you feel like you just never quite measure up. And quite frankly, I think there's to some degree we've all experienced this. Maybe we experience it on a daily basis, and maybe some people deal with it far more than others. But either way, we understand that feeling. We understand that sense. And so Satan uses that as a weapon against us. He builds that fortress. What does the Word of God say? Well, the Word of God says is that if you've trusted Christ as Savior, you are accepted in the beloved. We talked about this, I think we preached this last Sunday night, didn't we? Anybody remember Sunday night? The love of God. We are loved. Now that's a truth. That's not just a kind of a warm, fuzzy feeling. That is a truth that God will use you to destroy the foothold that Satan has. Well, Sister Diane and I talked a little bit about this after church Sunday, and I was trying to remember something, and I couldn't remember it. I remembered it later on in the evening. I texted to her. There was a song, and the song is about this woman. And she grew up not feeling loved of her father. Her father was always gone. He was gone. And she would have a birthday, and daddy's gone. So she never had this feeling of a father. And that's a bad thing. It's a bad thing for young boys not to have their father. It's bad for young ladies not to have their father. And if you let that, Satan will build a foothold there, and he will destroy you. And that's what happens in the song. What happens in the song is she doesn't feel she has the love of her father, and after a while, the father's just gone altogether, and she goes and she tries to find that love with someone else, and she winds up as an unwed mother. And so just a lot of tragedy there, and that's a story, quite frankly, that is retold countless times each and every day of this in the day and age we live in. But then, she meets Jesus. she gets saved. And see, the love of the Father, she does have the love of the Father. She's got God's love. And see, the God's love is big enough, as we said last Sunday night, y'all remember this? God's love is big enough to compensate for that which is lacking in our lives. His love is big enough. And so there's no reason for us to have this sense of insecurity. We are accepted in the beloved. It's not a sense where we have a pride in ourselves, but it is the reality of our position in Christ. That you're loved by God. You're eternally loved by God. And there's other areas of your life that I don't know what all you're dealing with. But when you think about maybe a sense of entitlement, use David as an example a few minutes ago about thinking that we're owed something. A lot of times because we think we're owed something, we get mad at anybody that shows any disrespect for us. But I'm going to ask you a question. If you're here today and you are truly saved, you're truly saved, all right? So you know something about heaven and hell. Well, let me ask you something. What if you'd have got what you deserved? See, that's the problem we have. We think, I didn't get what I deserve. You know, Brother Edwin's disrespected me. He's shown me some sort of disrespect. And I get mad at him. And I take it out on him. Well, what if I really got what I deserved? I'd be burning in hell. Right? I mean, that's the reality. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that deserves heaven. The only reason anyone enters into heaven is because of what Christ has done. The blood of Christ. And because of that, if we've been saved, we've already been elevated far above what we deserve. So if we could see that, if we could use that truth to tear down this thought that's in our life where we begin to think somebody owes us something. Nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes you anything. You've already gotten more than you deserve. And when you realize that, then you can have a lot more compassion for other people. You can be a lot more forgiving of other people. Sometimes maybe because somebody's wronged us, we don't want to forgive them. We grow that bitterness in our heart, and Satan's right there, and he's willing to whisper in our ear, if you will, oh yeah, he sure did you wrong. Boy, I tell you what, I wouldn't forgive him. You don't need to take that off of anybody, let alone him. Why, look at him. See, all those things go through our mind. And he builds that fortress. He's building that fortress, rock by rock by rock. He's getting a stronger and stronger foothold. And that anger, bitterness, it grows and it grows and it grows. And we begin to lash out at people. We're not showing Christ then. But then you go and you think about it from a Word of God's perspective. And you have already been forgiven more than you have ever been wronged. God has forgiven you. He's forgiven you the sins of your life. And because of that, He's made you a child of the King. And listen, if God can forgive you for all you've done against Him, you can forgive your brother for what he's done against you. See how the truth of God becomes a weapon. And I'm not trying to leave off prayer, but I do think the Word of God is the primary weapon that we have. It's not the only one. We do have prayer. Sometimes we need prayer for healings. We need prayer to God, help me to see your truth. Sometimes we know certain truths, but we have a hard time applying it to our life. We have a hard time knowing just how to use it as the salve that's going to heal our wounds. And so we need prayer to do that. We need to ask God to help us. Sometimes we need God to open up our eyes so that we can see the fortress that Satan's building. Maybe there's things in our lives that we don't really know why we do what we do. You ever done that? Why in the world do you do that? Why did I do that? Why? We need God to help us. Open our eyes, God. Help us to see the fortress that Satan's building. See, the thing is that Satan is not supposed to be in control. And what happens is there's times in our lives, there's areas of our life, we've let him have control. We've given him that foothold. He's built a stronghold. We've got to use the Word of God to tear those things down. But God does that. He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing. He tears those thoughts down. He tears them down. He destroys them. And he says, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, that's where we as Christians need to be. Where every thought of our life is brought into subjection to Jesus Christ. What are you dealing with? We're all dealing with some sin of some sort. What are you dealing with? Well, you need to bring that thought life, your thought life, into subjection to Jesus Christ. There's some of you that maybe this is completely foreign to you because you don't know the Lord. Satan still has control of your life. I want you to understand that you don't have to be in bondage to Satan. You don't have to be in bondage to Satan. He doesn't have to be in control. That what God offers you, the Bible says that when the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So what you need to do is come to the point where you see yourself is in bondage to Satan and see your own inability to right all the wrongs. You can't do it. You can't right all the wrongs. You turn over a new leaf, not going to help. You try to recommit yourself, not going to help. What you need is Christ. You need those spiritual weapons here. And the only way that you can have that is by becoming a child of God. The way that you become a child of God is repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you do that, listen, God will save your soul. He gives you eternal life. He makes you a child of the King. And He comes into your life through the Holy Spirit and He begins to work in you. And He begins to destroy the work of Satan in your life. And that's what you need.